Today's shiur is Masechta Nedarim Daf Nun Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Nun Zayin Amar Aleph at the new Mishnah. And as the Tosfos Rid helps us understand the Mishnah, Tosfos Rid says that although in Halacha there are different rules for different prohibited items, Erla, Truma, different situations where the Torah tells us different items are prohibited, and the Torah gives us very clear rules based on Chazal, what are the dinim. The Darim, as we have been learning, we follow Holchem Achaloshem Le'odam, we follow the way people speak, and therefore the subject of our Mishnah and our Gemara Mitzvashem is how to interpret the words of specific Nedarim. It says the Mishnah, Kainim Peiris Ha'elu Olai. If somebody specified that these specific fruits should be kainim to me, should be asa to me, or he used the words kainim heim alpi, or he used the words kainim heim lifi, the halacha in all these situations will be asa b'chulufehim. That if we exchange, if I said that this gemara should be prohibited to me, or I said that this fruit I should not be allowed to eat, let's speak about a specific case, I said a specific fruit should be asa to me, and then I exchange for that fruit something else, the halacha is that that nether will be, the iser will become effective on the item that was exchanged, ubi gidulehem, and he will also be usher if it was a fruit, and I planted that fruit, that vegetable in the ground, that fruit or vegetable that's now planted in the ground and new fruits or vegetables grow will also be usher. And as the Rishonim explain, not only is our Mishnah teaching that lechatchila, one should not be allowed to be machlif, should not be allowed to change or plant, but even b'di'evid, if one did it, it will not, the nether will affect the growths or the chilufim of an item that's also to me with a koinim. However, as the Ran clearly explains, that's because the person used the words ho'elu, these specific items. And because he used that word, that's why the chilufim and the gedulim are awesome. The Rosh disagrees with the Ran. The Rosh says, as long as the person did not just use the words shani oichel, shani toyim, even if he did not use the specific word of ho'elu, the halacha will still be, says the Rosh, asa b'chilufim and gedulim. And the Mefarshim try to understand the opinion of the Ran and the Rashba, who are so makbid and so careful that for order for the chilufim to be asur, he has to use the words ha'elu. Why? So some Mefarshim seem to indicate that the Ran says that that's what the word ha'elu seems to indicate, that it should be like hegdish, and just like once I use the word ha'elu, it has a din of hegdish, and the din by hegdish is that chilufim and gedulim are awesome. The Rashba explains it somewhat differently. He says when someone says the words ho'elu, what is he saying? That these fruits should be usher to the exclusion of the other fruits, even of the same variety. Says the Rashba, that is exactly the characteristic of a hegdish. What happens when somebody is magdish? Let's say he's magdish money. This money, a magdish, should have the status of hegdish to the exclusion of my other money, which will not have the status of hegdish. And therefore, says the Rashba, when somebody uses the word ha'elu, it has a din like hegdish, and also b'chulufeyim u'b'gdulehim. There's a machloikis rishonim. If this iser of b'chulufeyim u'b'gdulehim, is it an iser d'raisa, or is it an iser d'rabbanon? There's also a machloikis rishonim. When we speak about chilufim, does it only apply to the chilufim itself? What will be the din with chilufei chilufim? Will they also have the din like chilufim when somebody said ho'elu and they should be usher, or does it only go to chilufim and does not extend further to chilufei chilufim? However, if somebody used the words shani oichel v'shani toyim, there the halacha is muta b'chilufeyim. There he is permitted to have hanor from these changed items, or the items that grow out from the original fruit that he wasn't allowed to eat. The Rishonim point out that even though, as we're learning now, when someone uses the words shani oichel v'shani toyim, they have a lot more of a limited iser. It only applies to the fruit itself, not to the chalufim and gidulim. Still, point out the Rishonim, certainly shani oichel and shani toyim do not limit the iser hana only to eating. And the iser hana, that if I said I won't have hana from a species of fruit, I didn't say ha'elu, I may have hana from chalufim and gedulim, but I may not have any hana, not just eating is prohibited. Also, the Rishonim debate, when the Mishnah here says that muta b'chalufayim u'b'gedulayim, thus, does that mean that l'chatchila one may do it, or does the Mishnah just mean that in this case, since all, he didn't use the word ha'elu, all he said was shani oichel shani tayim, there, if b'di'evid he was machlif, or b'di'evid he planted it, it would be mutter. The Ran asks, why if someone planted something that's osa b'hano, is the halacha that it's osa b'gidulehem? In the first case of our Mishnah, we'll soon see other cases where everybody agrees that there are circumstances that it's usur. Why don't we say that the item, the original item, becomes bottle if the growth of the new growth is so much more than the original? We should say the halacha bittul. So the Ran says, given that in the Dorim are a dovash yesh lematirin, as we discussed and will discuss, another could be annulled, and therefore it's considered a davish yesh lematirim, and anything that's a davish yesh lematirim, the halacha is, does not become bottle. And this teretz is also used to ask another question. The halacha in Hilchas Taruvis is that a zev is a goyrim. If there's an item that was caused by two different reasons, by two different influences, one is an influence that's heter, one is the influence that's mut, osur, zev is a goyim is mutter. So ask the Mefarshim, isn't gidulim, if we take an item, a fruit, a vegetable, that's osur with a nether, and plant it, it's a zev is a goyim, the growths. Yes, the growths do emanate from the original fruit or vegetable that is osur, but also the earth contributed to this new fruit, this new vegetable growing. And shouldn't that be, and the earth that caused that to happen was not the subject of my nether, and therefore it should be a situation of zevez agayim that's mutter. So again, some Rishonim say that since it's a dovash yesh lematirim, it's a nether, we don't apply the het of zevez agayim. Other Mefarshim want to say a very interesting pshat. They say, as we start at the beginning of our shir, Nedarim don't have hard and fast rules, what is mutter and what is asr. Rather, by Nedarim, we follow achaloshim ne'adam. We follow what was the person's intention, what he said. Chazal determined that when somebody said that these fruits or vegetables should be asr, they meant that the gedulim should be asr. So yes, perhaps halachically we could apply the concept of bittul, and perhaps halachically we could apply the concept of zev zegoyrim. But Chazal are attributing what did I and what didn't I mean with my nether, and Chazal are telling us that I meant with my nether that the gedulim and the chalufim should be asur, and therefore even if there are other halachic considerations that may point me in the direction of saying that they should be mutter, we do not follow those considerations. Another teretz on the question of zev zegoyrim, as I saw, is as follows: where do we apply, say, the paiskim, the concept of zev zegoyrim? If we're preparing a food and we're using two ingredients, and each ingredient contributes to the preparation of the food, so zev zegoyrim says that since no one ingredient on its own could have created the food, we say zev zegoyrim. But what would be the halacha when we have two disparate factors contributing to the growth of something? Such as in our case, we have the original fruit, the original vegetable, together with the earth. So yes, both of these factors are vital to the growth of a new fruit or vegetable. We need the original fruit or vegetable, we need the seed, and we also need the earth. But since they play very, very different roles in this new growth, that is not considered a situation of zevah zegoyim. However, says the Mishnah, the halachas that we just discussed are bedava shezaroi kola, with produce whose seed decomposes. Most fruits and vegetables, wheat particularly, grain and fruit, when one plants them, the original seed decomposes. We have a new growth, a new fruit, a new grain. Ava bedavish ein zarakala, regarding something whose original seed does not decompose. The classical example are onions, as we will see in the Mishnah. There the halach is afilu gedule gedulim arasurim. So all Rishonim agree that what this line in the Mishnah certainly says is that in a case where I said shani oichon shani toyim, that the Mishnah said that gedulim are not osur, teaches us the Mishnah that's only if the object of the nether was something she'ein shezarakolo, whose seed decomposes. But if it's an item whose seed doesn't decompose, there, even though I said shani oichel shani toyim, the halacha will be that the gedulim and the gedule gedulim are awesome. But now we have a machlokes rishonim. Do we apply this distinction between an item which is zarakolo versus an item which is not zarakolo to the ratio? That means the Ran explains that in the Reisha, when somebody used the word ha'elu, the Mishnah said the halach is gidulim ar asr, teaches us the Mishnah that's only bedavar shezara kala, that the gidulim will be asr and the gidule gidulim will be mutter. But bedavar she'ein zara kala, when I use the word ha'elu, even the gidule gidulim are asr also. There are other Rishonim, however, who explain that this distinction doesn't apply to the ratio. For when one used the word to'elu, makes no difference if it's a dovish zara kala or it's a dovish ein zara kala. Under all circumstances, gedule gedulim are awesome. The Rishonim also discuss that in the circumstances that gedule gedulim are awesome, how far do we consider something gedule gedulim? The Rishonim that explain that gedule gedulim go on forever. There's no limit to gedule gedulim. However, there are other Rishonim that seem to explain that it only goes on to the fourth or fifth generation, not any further. There's also an interesting machlokes hapaiskim that our Mishnah just taught us that bedovish ein zarakala in a fruit vegetable whose seed does not decompose, the halach is gedule gedulim asr. Will that affect the halacha of the chalifei chalifin? Most poskim say the chalifei chalifin and gedule gedulim are two separate concepts in halacha, not to be connected. So even though zarakolo and zarakolo has ramifications regarding the gedulim versus the gedule gedulim, it shouldn't have any ramifications regarding chalifei chalifin. However, the Shach seems to say that wherever we have a situation that the gedule gedulim are asr, we must also say that the chalife chalifin are asr. He doesn't find it acceptable that the chalife chalifin should be mutter and the gedule gedulim should be asr. Continues the Mishnah. Hoyim alishtoy, if somebody says to his wife, kaina masi yadach alai, what you earn should be also to me. In all of these situations, also b'chilufeyem u'b'giduleyem. And as the Ran explains, since he used this lashon, it's similar to the lashon of elu. And in these cases, as we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, the halacha is the asr b'chilufeyem u'b'giduleyem. The Rishonim ask, how can one make a neder that he will not have hanah from his wife's work? As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, a neder is an issa cheftza, a nether has to be on a tangible item, saying that your work will be also to me is not a tangible item. So there are two answers given in the Rishonim. One answer is that the focus of the nether, the subject of the nether, are the hands of the wife, and they are obviously a tangible, real item. Another answer given is that the husband only intends that the nether should be effective after the wife prepared and made whatever she did. So now we have a real item on which the nether will be chal. However, if he said shani oichel shani toyim, here the halacha will be that I'm not going to eat or taste from what you make. Here the halacha will be mut b'chulufeyem u'bigduleyem. And again, the Mishnah makes the distinction. B'dovish is zarakala. That's only an item that the seed decomposes. Abadovish ain't zarakala. The halacha is afilu gedule gedule masur. So the Ran explains, what is the Mishnah teaching us in this case that we didn't learn in the previous case? Says the Ran, that in this case, in the case of Shani Oichel Shani Toyim, the husband continued using the word Ho'elu. In other words, what he said was, Koinem Mas Yudayich Olai Shani Oichel, Koinem Mas Yudayich Olai Shani Toyim. So even though he still used these words, Ho'elu, I would think that even though he used the word Shani Oichel, v'shani toyim, he should still be also b'chulfeyim u'b'gduleyim. Teaches us the Mishnah, as long as he used the word shani oichel shani toyim, he's not also b'chulfeyim u'b'gduleyim. Tosfos Yontov explains according to the Rosh, who doesn't put so much credence and isn't so concerned about the word ha'elu, there's really not much of a chiddush in this case versus the previous case. However, ask the Mefarshim. According to Ran, who says that the whole point of this case is to teach us that even though he used the words Koinem Mas Yudayich Olai, since he added the word Shani Oichel Shani Toyim, the halacha is Mutar B'Chulufeyim U'B'Gduleyim, the question is, as we have discussed many times, there's a concept in Shas of Tfois Lashon Rishon, Tfois Lashon Achron. When a person says contradictory remarks, which remark do we follow? And here it seems that we're following the second remark. And that's why we're following the Shani Oichel Shani Toyim more than following the Koinem Mas Yudayich Olai. And the question is why. So, according to the Mefarshim, according to the opinions that hold that we say Tfois, Loshen, Achron, it's not a problem. Because we're following the Shani Oichel Shani Toyim, which was the last statement that the person made. But according to the opinions, that we say Tfois Lashon Rishon, or we say both Lashonis, everything he said should be taken into consideration. How do we explain our Mishnah? So I saw a very nice teretz from the Taz. The Taz says, where do we apply the concept of Tfois Lashon Rishon, Tfois Lashon Achron? He says, we apply that concept in a situation where the two statements that were made are contradictory. As we quoted previously, the Gemara in Masechta Temura, that if somebody says that this animal should be an oila and a shlomim, so an animal can't be both an oila and a shlomim, it's one or the other, and that's why we have a concept of Tfois Lashon Rishon, Tfois Lashon Achron. In our Gemara, using the words Koinem Mas Yudayich Olai, and then adding the word Shani Oichel Shani Toyim, those aren't necessarily contradictory statements, and because they're not specifically contradictory statements, the halacha is we could follow the second statement and say, since he said Shani Oichel Shani Toyim, the halacha is that he's not usher b'chilufeim or b'gdoleim. If a husband says to a wife, Shat Oisa, anything that you prepare, any oichel ara pesach, I will not eat until Pesach. Shat oisa, anything you make for me, any clothing, any maskasa out of Pesach, I won't wear till Pesach. So halacha is also lefnei Pesach. Anything that she prepared or cooked before Pesach, mutar lechol maskasa of Pesach. And as the Ran explains, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that we shouldn't explain the nether here to mean that he's saying that anything she makes before Pesach will be usher forever. Rather, the way to understand the nether is that whatever she makes before Pesach will be also only till Pesach, but after Pesach, it will be permitted. However, if somebody said, "Shat ois ara Pesach aneichel," that anything you make before Pesach, I will not eat. "Shat ois ara Pesach ani miskasa," anything you make before Pesach, I will not wear. There the halacha is also l'ftei Pesach, anything that she made before Pesach, also l'achol l'skasa sacha Pesach, he may not wear or eat ever, even after Pesach. Continues the Mishnah. If a man said to his wife, "Shat nenesli ara Pesach," you may not, if you benefit from me, you may not benefit from me to Pesach. If you go to your parents' home until Sukkot, in order to prevent his wife to going to her parents' home, he makes a nether that if she will go to her parents' home, she may not benefit from him before Pesach. The halacha is, if holchol fnei Pesach, if she went before Pesach, asur ba nosa ad Pesach, then she may not derive benefit from him until Pesach. And we remind ourselves of the Gemara that we learned at the beginning of Masechta on Daf Tezvav, the Machloikas Rav Nachman and Rehuda. Rav Nachman said that as long as she did not go to her parents' home, she may benefit from her husband. And we don't have to be concerned that she will benefit from her husband and then afterwards end up going to her parents' home and will have ended up violating the nether retroactively. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that even before she goes to her parents' home, Chazal did not allow her to benefit from him, because we're concerned that she may end up going to her parents' home, which will retroactively trigger the nether, and if she will have benefited from him, she will have retroactively been over Bal Yachal. The Rishonim ask, how could a husband make a nether that his wife may not benefit from him? Isn't every husband meshubed obligated to have relations with his wife and to take care of his wife? So one teretz given by the Rishonim is, if a husband were to say specifically to his wife, "I'm making a nether that you're not allowed to have hanor for me," and then that nether would not be effective because it flies in the face of the shibud that a husband has to the wife. However, here the husband made it a condition. He didn't say that under all circumstances you will not be allowed to benefit from me. He says only that if you go, then you won't be allowed to benefit from me. Since it's not absolute that she will be usher to have hanor from him, that's why the nether is a valid nether. Continues the Mishnah saying, however, lacha Pesach, if she ended up going to her parents' home after Pesach, Bal Yachol, she's retroactively over the nether if she had benefit from him before Pesach. That means if she should end up going to her parents' home after Pesach till Sukkot, she will have retroactively triggered the nether, and it'll turn out that she violated the nether. So, according to Rav Nachman, the Mishnah is teaching us that if she decides to derive benefit from her husband before Pesach, she should be careful not to go to her parents' home after Pesach, because if she goes, she'll be retroactively being over the nether. According to Rav Yehuda, the Mishnah is teaching us the reason why she should not derive benefit from him before Pesach, even if she hasn't gone to her parents' home, because we're concerned that if she does derive benefit and then goes to her parents' home anytime until Sukkot, she'll be retroactively guilty of violating the nether. And here we have a very fundamental machloikis, Ran and Rambam. The Ran says, the husband's the one that made the nether, but the nether is effective on the wife, and if she violates the nether, she's over Bal Yachol and she gets Malkus. Tosfos, the Rambam disagrees, because the Rambam, as the Achronim explained his opinion, finds it difficult to understand how I can make a nether that my wife may not benefit, and she didn't make the nether at all, and she will be the one that's over and gets Malkus. And therefore, the Rambam, as the Mefarshim explained his opinion, holds as follows. Certainly, the woman may not violate the nether. The nether is an effective nether, it's a valid nether, and she should not violate it. However, only if the husband is the one that gave her benefit when he knew that she may not benefit from him, will the husband get malchus. Because the Mefarshim continue to explain the opinion of the Rambam, they hold that the malchus that's given for Bal Yachal Dvaroi is for one violating his speech. This woman didn't violate her speech, she didn't say anything. And therefore the Rambam holds that it's the husband that gets the malchus, not the wife. If a husband says to his wife, Shat Nenesli Archag, you may not benefit from me until Sukkot, Im Halachas At Lebeis Avich Ad Pesach, if you go to your parents' home before Pesach. Here the halacha is that if Halchol for Pesach, if she went before Pesach, Osva Noso Arachag, then she may not benefit from him until Sukkot. Umeteres Leochach Pesach, but she still may go to her parents' home after Pesach. She triggered the nether, but she's allowed to go to her parents' home. And Duran explains what is the Mishnah teaching us here, that although she triggered the nether by going before Pesach, she's still permitted to go to her parents after Pesach, and we're not concerned. Chazal do not make a gzera that she should not be allowed to go till Sukkot to remind her parents' home, to remind her that she may not derive benefit from her husband. Chazal did not make such a gzera, and she could go to her parents' home till Sukkot, even though she's not allowed to benefit from her husband. So we learned in the Mishnah. In all these cases, we learned that Osir Bichlufeim Bugdaleim, and then we learned in the Mishnah the difference between Zara Kala and Dava She'ain Zara Kala. Says the Gemara, Yishmal Ish Kfar Yama, Yishmal from Kfar Yama, Bimele Ish Kfar Di Yama, Hela Biyodai, he came with the following Shaila. Botzel she'okroi b'shvius. Is somebody uprooted from the ground in the Shemitah year in onion? And as the Rishonim explain, as far as vegetables are concerned, to determine if they are Shemitah produce or not, we follow the time when the vegetable was actually picked from the ground. So we have this onion that was picked from the ground in the Shemitah year, and therefore it's considered Shemitah produce. And as we have discussed, vegetables fall under the category of svichim, and therefore any vegetable that was picked from the ground in the Shemitah year remains osur if it was a Jewish field in Eretz Yisrael. And now this person went v'nota b'shmiyas. He took the Shemitah onion and replanted it in the eighth year. V'rabu gedula v'alikroi, and the new growths exceed the size of the root. V'ach kamibayloi. And his question was, Gedulav Heter, the new part that grew, is growth of the eighth year. No problem with it. Vikroi, but the root is Osir. Do we say, Kivin the rubber Gedulav Miikroi, since the new growth exceed the original root, Oisik Gedulav Heter Malanus Isr Oloi? And here we have two very fundamental approaches in Rishonim, how to understand the Gemara. The Rambam's approach to understanding the Gemara is that the Gemara's question is both on the root and on the growth, on the new growths. And the Gemara's question is, how do we view them? Do we view them as Shemitah produce and Osir, or do we view them as non-Shemitah produce and Mutter? And according to the Rambam's explanation, the Gemara's question is on both parts, on the old part and on the new part. The Rosh, the Rashba, explained the Gemara's question is not on the new versus the old. They say that the new is certainly mutter, it grew in the eighth year. The Gemara's question is, do these new growths have the ability of being mevatel, of nullifying the much smaller old root that's here? It's interesting to note that the Rishonim, there's a machlokes Rishonim, when we say that the new growths exceeded the original part, what does that mean? Does it mean that we have shishim, that we have 60 times the new versus the old? which is the regular shear we find throughout Shas to affect Bittul, we have to have Shishim, or is not required to have Shishim, even a Roiv is enough. And the Mefarshim ask, why here would we consider that Roiv should be enough? Don't we have a klal that throughout Shas we need to have Shishim, that throughout Halacha? Why is a simple Roiv adequate here? So Mefarshim explained, particularly if we follow the opinion of the Ram in explaining the Gemara, that since the Gemara Shaila over here is that we look at it as if it's an entirely new entity, because they planted the old onion, but it had a chance to grow to such a great degree that the new growth so much exceeded the old growth. So that, says the Chazon Ish, would perhaps be a situation that the Halacha views as if the old growth is no longer here, and we only have something new which grew in the 8th year, in the non-Shemitah year. And that's why the typical halachas of Shishim were not applied. And this concept can be used to answer another question. The Paiskim say that in order to apply the typical halachas of Taruvus, that when we have two different items mixed together, we say Bittul or we don't say Bittul, we had to begin with a situation where each item was independently identifiable, and then they got mixed together. In other words, we had a kosher ingredient, or we had non-kosher ingredient, and then those two ingredients came together, and we have the question, do we say Bittul or not? Ask the Mefarshim, in this case, that was never the case. We began from when these new growths came out from the earth. We immediately began with a situation of a taruvus. So how can we apply the typical Hilchus Taruvus to this situation? But if we follow the concept that the Chazon Ish just taught us, that here it's not a regular case of Bittul. Here it's a case where the old root disappears if we apply the concept of Bittul. And there's entirely a new growth, which is not Shemitah. We could understand why the regular Hilchus Taruvus don't apply. And actually the Karen Ira also makes this point. The Karen Ira says that typically when we say Bittul, it doesn't mean that the original item that we want to nullify is no longer here. We just say it's here and it's Bittul. Here, we're applying a new concept of Bittul. We're applying a concept of Bittul that the original item is gone and there's a new item which is Mutter. Also Kameder of Ami, so they came and asked the Shailber of Ami, like have a biyada, and did not have an answer. Oslo Kamedra of Yitzhak Nafka. So they came and asked the Shaila Bar of Yitzhak Nafka. Pashalim and Hadar. So he answered from the following din. Dam Rav Chanina, Trisa Omer of Yanai, Batzel Shatruma Shanata. If somebody took an onion of Truma and planted it, Virava Gedula of El Ikroi, and the growth exceeded the root, Mutter, it's permitted. So we see that the new growth has the ability of being mevatel the old root. The Mefarshim ask, how can we ask a shayla from truma of a vegetable, which is a derabbanon, on Shemitah? How can we bring a raya from a derabbanon to Shemitah, which is a deraisa? So Rishonim answer that our Gemara is referring to Shemitah b'zman hazeh, Shemitah currently, which is also only a derabbanon. The Mefarshim also discuss, the Shalmei Nedarim makes this point, that we know there are two types of truma. There's what's known as truma gedoyla, the truma that everyone has to take off from his produce. The midaraisa has no shear. And then there's truma smaiser, that when the Levi has to give 10% of his maiser as truma to the kayin. Says the Shalmei Nedarim, when our Gemara over here discusses truma, it's referring to truma smaiser, which has a shear. But since truma gedoyla, as we just said, midaraisa, has no shear, then all the halachas of Bittul don't apply. Bittul only applies by foods, by items that have halachas of shiurim. And therefore there, by that type of truma, it certainly would not be bottle. Amlei Rabbi Yirmiyahu. So this answer is challenged. Amlei Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'tem Rav Zreika. Shava ma'atrein, did you set aside the opinion of Tu'am Aroyim v'avik echad and follow this opinion? Ask the Gemara, man in train. What does he mean when he says that there are two opinions that are not like this. Dom Rav Avua, Omer Rav Yochanan. Yaldu shezivcha bezakeina. We know that halacha is that fruits, the first 3 years of their growing, are also because of the arla. And if somebody took a young tree that's less than 3 years old and grafted it onto an old tree, uba peiris, and there are still fruit, there are fruits on this young tree as it's grafted on the old tree, apisha sifa masayim, even though there's a ratio of 200 to 1 from the new fruit, which is not arla, it's still osur. So we see that the original growth does not become bottle. This Gemara is used by many Paiskim to teach us the halacha that if we know that on Sukkos we have to take the Dal Aminim. And there's always a question with the Esroigim about being Merkavim, given that the Esrog is somewhat of a delicate fruit. There's always a concern that they might have grafted into the Esrog a lemon. And the Paiskim discussed, the Al-Shech already discusses this, but if you took one lemon and you put it on a big Esrog tree, isn't a bottle. Al-Gemara is teaching us that it, that effect always remains, and therefore it's awesome. Another halacha. Batzel should not be kerem. If somebody took an onion and he planted it in a vineyard, so we have a situation of klayim, and then v'nekra kerem, the vineyard was uprooted, awesome. The onion remains forbidden. Because here, again, we say that the new growth cannot nullify the original. The new growth cannot nullify the original forbidden root. Hadas l'kameder of Ami. Then he went and asked Rav Ami, upash l'mada, and he brought a raya from this din. Don Rav Yitzchak Amar Rav Yochanan, litra betzalim. If we have a liter of betzalim shetikna that was trumas and maestris were removed from it, vizara, and now they're replanted. And the Mefarshim point out 2 points. Why does the Mishnah used? Why does the Gemara use the words litra, the amount? Because in order to figure out bittel, we need to know how much we began with. So that's why he uses the words litra, to know how much we began, to be able to calculate if there is bittel. And they also point out that in all the previous thinim that we quoted, the Gemara used the word nota. Here the Gemara uses the word shazara. Why does the Gemara use a different word? So they explain that in the previous cases, we had one onion, one branch. So the word nata is the proper word to use. Here, as we just said, we're talking about a whole litra, a whole liter of onions. When we're speaking about a whole liter of onions, so that's zara, we have to plant all these onions. So now we took these onions that we already had trumas and maestros removed from them and replant them. The halacha is misaseres lefi kulay. When we now take maaser, we don't deduct the amount that we began with, which already had the trumas and maaser removed from it. We included in calculating how much trumas and maaser we have. Alma, so what do we see? Osin gedulin mevatel nikar. The new growths are mevatel the original. So isn't this a proof? Says the Gemara, this is not a proof. Kedema lechumr shani. Here we're referring to a chumra. By applying the concept of bittel, we're going to require that even the old growths have trumas and maestris removed. Certainly, where it causes a chumra, we apply the concept of bittel. But in the shaila that we began with, bittel would cause a kula, that this original onion and the growths, according to the Ran's explanation, would not be considered shmitah produce. We don't say bittel, perhaps, to cause a kula. However, ask the Rishonim. We're saying now that we're applying the concept of bittel l'chumra. That means, really, the original part that was planted should not be mechuyev to have trumas and maasos removed. We're only doing it l'chumra. But the new part that grow has a chiv d'raisa to have trumas and maasos removed. So how can, ask the Mefarshim, we allow such a situation, we may end up taking minaptur from fruits that are not mechuyev in trumas and maaseris al achiv. And because of this question, the Rashba actually says we shouldn't take trumas and maaseris from these fruits, the new or the old, we should take Trumas and Maisis from itself. The Ran and the Rosh, however, say that now the Gemara is holding that when we apply Bittul L'Chumra, it considers as if an entire new object, an entire new fruit has been created, which is a mixture of the old and the new. Every drop of these fruits and vegetables are a combination of the new and the old. And since the new is obligated to have Trumas and Maisis removed from it, so too is the old. There's a tshuva from Rabbi Yehuda Osset, and the Shaila of tshuva is Yehuda Yala, based on our Mishnah Gemara. That our Mishnah Gemara taught us about Gidulim, that if we plant items, the halacha is that those items are considered having a effect on what grows out. So the question is, if there's a basic kfaris, a cemetery, where halacha is that we're not allowed to benefit from a cemetery, we're not allowed to benefit from mace, and in the cemetery grow fruit, in the cemetery grow flowers, would one be allowed to use those fruit or flowers? And based on our Gemara, the Rabbi Yehuda Osset says that those gedulim, we see that the gedulim of something that's osser have the same status as what it began with. And if a cemetery, we know, is a mokum that's osser b'hano, the fruits, the flowers that grow in a cemetery are also osser b'hano. The Meshech Chochma explains homiletically what we just discussed in our Gemara, uses this concept homiletically. He says our Gemara just taught us that if we take something and we replant it, it could become, and we reconnect it to something, it could lose its original status of Isser. He says that is what every Jew who wants to start doing tshuva should do. Sometimes we stray. Sometimes we don't follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants us to do. What is our job? What should we do? We should come back to the Iker. We should reconnect. We should take ourselves that become Usser and reconnect to Heter, become part of the Heter, become part of Klal, reattach ourselves to Klal Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mekabel our tshuva, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring us back into Knesset Yisrael.